Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Formula One held round three in Bahrain. Short Tracks ran some pretty big nighttime shows over the Easter weekend, and a world champion is coming to the Indy 500. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, April the 17th, 2017. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing. We are on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour. We hope all of you had a glorious Easter Sunday. Let's jump right into the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap. Last weekend was the busiest so far in 2017. This weekend being Easter weekend, it was one of the leanest since racing started in earnest. However, we do have the results from you from the major touring series. Formula One ran on a Sunday evening local time in Bahrain. That race was won by Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel. The World of Outlaw Sprint Cars, I don't think those guys ever sleep. Last Thursday night, they raced in Willis, Texas, and Connecticut native David Gravel won for his fourth A main of the season. In Mesquite, Texas, they ran a doubleheader on Friday and Saturday, the famed Devil's Bowl Speedway, where World of Outlaws all started. Friday night was won by Jason Johnson, and Saturday by Brad Sweet. The USAC Sprint held the race Friday night at Bloomington, Indiana. Chad Boseplug took that checkered flag, and on Saturday in Hobstadt, Indiana, Chris Windham was your winner. In Grandview, Pennsylvania, they ran night number two of their season. Kyle Weiss won the small block dirt modified feature, and a big race for pavement late models close to our studios here in Hickory, North Carolina. The Pass Series ran the Easter Bunny 150. Preston Peltier took the checkered flags there. That is beginning, or actually is forming, into one of the biggest events on the past circuit. Certainly one of the biggest of the springtime there in their season. Now, the Southern Modified Racing Series ran last Friday night in Asheboro, North Carolina, and it was a pretty good Friday for Tim Brown as he won the Keller Williams Realty 125 over only a 13-car field. A little light there, but strong on the talent level for the modified feature guys. And their big event this weekend, April 22nd, opening night at the Madhouse, Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The 2017 season kicks off this Saturday night with the Hayes Jewelers 200. Yeah, I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to that. Now let's step back in time a bit, look at the racing highlights. To try to keep the show timely, currently up to date, we are going to step back a little bit and get caught up on some news and commentary and whatnot over the past few weeks. Let's talk about last week, where the news came out after we were on the air. Fernando Alonso will participate in this year's Indianapolis 500. The two-time Formula One world champ is welcomed over here at the Brickyard. What's the deal? Well, let's break it down a little bit. Yeah, he drives for McLaren and Honda on the Formula One Tour. Now, there's a natural Honda tie-in, as he will run the Indianapolis 500 for Michael Andretti and his team Andretti Autosport. So we've got the Honda connection right there. McLaren has gone public, the team that Alonso currently drives for in Formula One, that they have a desire to return to IndyCar racing. This would be very, very good. Yes, having McLaren back on board with the IndyCar. We go back to decades time long ago where this was commonplace. I've read books in history. Even my remember when I was younger in life, you just had more of a crossover. So many more of those European Formula One champions, not even world champions, but talented drivers coming to the Indy 500. There were certain years in the past where the 500 was part of the world championship chase. Has not been for a long, long time, and drivers pretty much stuck to what they were doing. So this is pretty cool deal. McLaren and Honda giving Alonso a race off to come to America and race in the Indy 500. Here is where I think is the biggest asterisk, if you want to call it that, is Alonso is actually skipping a race to run in Indianapolis. He is giving the field a one race head start with the world championship. Not just any race, but Monte Carlo. This is an IndyCar driver skipping the Indy 500. This is a NASCAR driver skipping the Daytona 500. This is a road racer in Europe skipping the 24 hours of Le Mans. This is a drag racer here in the U.S. skipping the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis. Monte Carlo is the crown jewel of the F1 Tour. It has gone head-to-head with Indianapolis for many years. Not literally on a timing scale, but for how many years have we all relished to the fact that this was the greatest televised day of the year when it came to American motorsports? Here in the U.S., you can sit on the couch for 18 straight hours and watch some of the biggest races of the year. 7 a.m., we go green with Monaco. At noon, we go green with the Indy 500. Then at 6 o'clock on Memorial Day Sunday, the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte. Really impossible to do all three. Here is Alonso, a two-time F1 champion in, what was it, 06 and 07 with Renault. He's coming, he's skipping Monaco, skipping the race. Jenson Button will fill in for him with McLaren at Monaco. He's will be over here for two weekends running the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is days of yore. This is Dan Gurney. This is Parnelli Jones. This is Phil Hill. This is fantastic. I can't get over it. Now, there are naysayers that say, well, attendance was down and we need a gimmick to get attendance back up and why not? Hey, we had a sellout Indy 500 for last year for the 100th. We don't expect all of that, every bit of that excitement this year for the 101st edition of the race. But for certainly there is a big deal going on about it. Still, we expect a tremendous amount. I don't think there's going to be a tremendous crowd there. TV ratings will be just fine. The media will be just fine. I don't think the IndyCar series or the 500 needed Alonso, but this is a fantastic opportunity. I think this is the biggest boost for McLaren, where they want to get their feet wet and come back to the U.S. What will Alonso do? Will he hang on in Formula One for a while? Or maybe is he looking for a secondary home after his F1 career comes to a close? As far as age goes, he's one of the veterans out there by far. Those guys are very Carl Edwards-esque in Formula One, where they do not race well and late into the years. However, a secondary home could be made here. Mario Andretti started in his 20s here in the U.S. in professional racing, raced a lot of his 30s in the Formula One Tour, came back to the U.S. in IndyCar in his 40s. A similar path could be following Fernando Alonso. We had Rubens Barrichello here 1 year in IndyCar. I thought it was fantastic. Wish he stuck around longer, but he is still racing at home in Brazil. Just found another home after F1. I'm excited to have Alonso here. I was even on Andretti's website earlier. My credentials are set for the 500. I will be heading up there. I would love to get a few minutes of one-on-one time on behalf of Racers Reunion Radio if I can squeak it in with Fernando Alonso and talk to him. That would be fantastic. Looking a little bit further in Formula One, Ferrari's big win yesterday with Sebastian Vettel at the wheel. A lot of commentary and speculation as to how legal these Ferraris are. What specifically? The floors. Possibly the floors are flexing in these cars. Definitely a no-no, obviously against the rules, but a lot of suspicion to this. Even the guys at Mercedes are saying it's kind of more, you know, water cooler talk. They're not really cheating. Every car passes through tech inspection over there. I've never seen it personally, so I don't know how thick or you know how tight they are as compared to the NASCAR tours, where I have at least witnessed them several times and can testify to it. don't know what a Ferrari tech inspection looked like or a Formula One tech inspection looks like. So a flex floor, you wouldn't see that in the tech line, but it could be doing it out on the racetrack, and then you come in and check it out and you would never see it. Is it possible? Sure. But even Niki Lauda with Mercedes says, I don't know about that. But that is definitely some good talk to keep an eye on. I'm going to watch Ferrari's floors here for the next several weeks. Looking ahead to this coming weekend, the IndyCars, we're going to keep on the open wheel theme here for a little bit. We're going to talk about Barber Motorsport Park. They have the IndyCar series running there this weekend with the Grand Prix down there for a few days. A great stop for us. I am located in newer viewers to the show. I'm located just north of Charlotte in Mooresville, North Carolina. So it's not that far of a jaunt from here to Birmingham, Alabama, for the IndyCar Grand Prix. However, I will not be making a trip to there. As we talked about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, credentials are all set there. However, we were declined for the Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama. And I say that with a smile. That's okay with us. I kind of disappointed and bummed about it, but the response I got was due to the overwhelming popularity. They just did not have room for everybody that wanted to cover the event. I've never been to Barber, so I don't really know the size confines or the logistics of the facility. Quite possibly a legitimate excuse. I'll take them at their word. But at the same time, in United States motorsports media coverage, IndyCar can use all it can. Have they ever heard of NASCAR? Yeah, there's a lot of people writing and covering NASCAR in the U.S., and IndyCar 40 years ago was the circuit to be. They fell in disarray. Now they are rebuilding themselves and have a very excellent and strong product, but they could still use a whole lot more media coverage. I tried. They declined. It's all good. I will see everybody on the IndyCar Tour in May at the Brickyard. Now I'm going to wind it back here. Even further, I'm going to look at my trusty calendar up on the wall. We're going to go back to my broadcast here at Speedway Report on March 27th, which was a Monday, and I'm specifically going to focus on a broadcast on March 28th, a Tuesday, which I took part of, and a little bit of commentary, but one Mr. Tim Leeming here on Racers Reunion Radio and his legendorial from March 28th. I'm a few weeks behind in getting to this. We have some good highlights and topics we wanted to talk about last week. The week before, we paid a tribute to Sam Ard and his passing. I didn't think it was right to dive into the history of Sam Ard, what he meant to NASCAR, as well as the legendorial. But I do take issue with several things that Mr. Leeming said on his segment of Racing Through History. We call that the Goat Rodeo here, as well as his written word on the legendorial. Feel free to go to racersreunion.com and follow along. Let's start with this, how he writes about my research and how he emphasized the R and the E as in research. Research, as he called it. Simply, he says that you search for something, and if you don't find what you want, you research it. You keep going until you find the information you want. Not at all. I did not want to find any particular information. I simply looked for information. The information I found and could verify, I backed up and I used on my report. I will take another quote from Mr. Leeming's legendorial. Quote, any suggestion that NASCAR is failing in the ratings game is a fallacy. That Leeming says that I said. I'll read it again. Any suggestion that NASCAR is failing in the ratings game is a fallacy. Well, the only fallacy here is what Mr. Leeming wrote, because I never said that, wrote that, or implied that in any way, shape, or form on the Speedway Report as we talked about television overnight ratings with NASCAR. This gets a little better because Leeming buries himself a little bit here. I'll quote Tim again. Quote, I didn't really hear Patrick quote the source whereupon his research took him, but he is adamant that when all forms of media sources are taken into account, NASCAR's ratings are up there. Quote, NASCAR's ratings are up there. No, they are not. I never said they were. Don't know where he gets this from. I clearly said what I said. We talked about the overnight ratings, and my point of all this was that they were just not an accurate representation of NASCAR's decline or advancement in popularity. There's a lot, way too many variables in this to keep this as a foundation for how NASCAR is doing. So when he says that I said NASCAR's ratings are up there, Absolutely not. Did not say that. This gets even better. So I'll go back to this quote again. Tim Leeming, I didn't really hear Patrick quote the source whereupon his research took him. Of that, Leeming is correct. So allow me to add that right here. It came from none other than Michael Mulvihill. Now, who is Michael Mulvihill, you might ask? Well, he works for, drumroll please, he works for Fox Sports. Yes, he spearheads their ratings and their research. So, when we say Fox Sports numbers are down, and a Fox Sports guy says that, I'm pretty sure you can take that to the bank, because if he was coding his resources and his answers, he would certainly say the numbers are up. We all say that we see that the ratings are down. We all agree that the ratings are down. And when a Fox Sports guy says that the ratings are down, you can bet on it pretty good. Now, Mulvihill puts out reports daily, weekly. He's a Fox Sports guy. He spearheads their program. He does the research for them. So to put the legend at ease, yes, Michael Mulvihill from Fox Sports, that was my source. This one gets even better. I'll quote Mr. Leeming again. But it is not so much Patrick I'm taking on here tonight. It's the fallacy of the research sources Patrick used. Fallacy, huh, Tim? Wait a minute. In two paragraphs above, I just said, I didn't really hear Patrick quote the source whereupon his research took him. So what is it, Tim? Are you upset at the sources I used, or did I not say my sources? It certainly can't be both now, can it? How can you be upset at my sources when you're complaining two paragraphs above in your legendorial that I didn't tell you my sources? You're contradicting yourself, my friend. Maybe you ought to reread and edit your own work before you put that up on the Racers Reunion website. So then he goes and he references that argument that we all like. Does anyone here remember the pre-election polls? Well, of course, we all remember the pre-election polls. Tim, now, is that the argument that we're all going to fall back when it comes to reading a story that we don't like? Oh, wait a minute. Those reporters talked about Trump and Hillary, and they got that all wrong. Are we just going to reference that with every argument that we don't like or could be wrong? Yeah, we really can't do that. Yes, we all know the story of that, but that has nothing to do with what I said, what I did, and what I researched with my numbers, which I quote, were not embellished, but were spot on. I just simply reported the facts. Another quote from Mr. Leeming, if I may continue. Bottom line, at least for me, is that I don't really care anymore what the television ratings are. I have a hard time believing that as well, because he spent an entire segment in a legendorial harpooning my report on television ratings. So I got to contradict him on that as well. Tim, I think you do care about television ratings. I'll move on to Mr. Leeming's more quotes. For the first time I can remember, you can't find 1 in 100 kids under 25 who gives a damn about NASCAR or stock car racing. You would be hard-pressed to find 1 in 100 under the age of 35 who cares. Isn't that the demographic NASCAR wants? Research that for us, please, Patrick, and see what you can come up with. Now, I read that, you know, kids under 25 or under 35, Tim brings up an excellent point. How many do we have? Are we searching for them? How many are in the grandstands? How many are in the TV ratings? I don't know, because I didn't research that. That's a particular topic that I just did not happen to look at. I was very specific in what I was talking about. That was not something I was talking about. He says, research that for us, please, Patrick, and see what you can come up with. No, Tim, you want to know it. You research it. Oh, wait, I forgot. You don't know what research means. We covered that earlier in this report. We covered the word research. You don't know what that means. It's something I do, and you do not. And let's get down to the later part of the legendorial. I plan to attend a cup race this year. This is Tim talking. Which one? The Southern 500 at Darlington, of course. The throwback weekend. I'll be the one with the Winston Cup t-shirt and the Winston Cup cap. Maybe Patrick would like to research how many Winston Cup era t-shirts and caps are still around. Go for it, Patrick. Well, I'll tip my hat to Tim for wearing the Winston Cup t-shirt and the Winston Cup cap and attending the Southern 500 at Darlington. I think that's fantastic. How many Winston Cup era t-shirts and caps are still around? I don't care. Legend, you want to know? You research it, dude. I've got my points. He's got his points. He tries to mix the two. I said everything I wanted to say that night on March 27th on the Speedway Report pretty clearly. Tim just didn't grasp it. My point has always been this right from the start, that the overnight TV ratings are not an accurate assessment of where we are with NASCAR. All the details on that on a clever downloaded Speedway Report from March 27th. I got to look at the calendar there. Go, it's on our Facebook page. It is on speedwayreport.com. My point is clear. Feel free to listen to it and check it out. But Tim Leeming, I suggest you also listen to it and check it out, because you certainly missed the boat on that one, my friend. Big want to say get well before we get out of here tonight to Jane Alimo. She was a little under the weather and hurt a little bit. Her son LJ is a big fan of the show. Jane is as well. I don't know if there's any big racing up in New England this weekend. LJ is from the Agawam, Massachusetts area, but I know the Spring Sizzler is the following weekend. Look for the Alimos there at Stafford Motor Speedway. Quick gratuitous plug for the Speedway Report stickers and a magnet. They are free of charge. We'll pay for the shipping. Just message me your address. I'll be happy to get these out to you. I'm sure Tim Leeming would want to get a copy of these and wear these down in Darlington with his Winston Cup jacket and hats. Love you, buddy. In between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. The Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. You know, on the top ribbon, click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. We also have columns posted from Steve Zonger, Paul Blofus, and me. Now, Blofus's latest column is up with his opinions on the 2017 racing season so far. He's got thoughts on NASCAR, open wheel, drag racing, and road racing. Please head on over to SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for your outstanding production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History, that we like to call the GOAT Rodeo. That is where you will find your fake news legendorial right there on Racing Through History. And don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time, all here on Racers Reunion. Big thanks to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in. I love to be part of your family. And if you tuned in late to our show, or you want to catch a rebroadcast of any of the Racers Reunion programs, just head to any one of the players for Racers Reunion on racersreunion.com, speedwayreport.com. We replay all our content 24/7 after the Monday and Tuesday live programs, and everything is archived. You can also head on over to the Speedway Report Facebook page. I want to thank all the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Little reminder, please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from NASCAR in Thunder Valley, IndyCar at Barber Motorsports Park, Bowman Gray Stadium's opening Saturday night, NHRA Spring Nationals in Texas, and racing's hot topics. That's a lot of racing. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.
Jessica. I am 12 years old and I have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease that I was born with that attacks my lungs and my stomach. Right now there is no set cure for CF, but with your help there could be. Please help Cystic Fibrosis Foundation find a cure. be a part of Great Strides. It's a walk to raise money for CF research and care. If you do this, you'll help me and everybody else with this disease. Thank you from all of us. Call 1-800-FIGHT-CF to get...
On May 19th, it's the third annual Salt Air Jam at the North Myrtle Beach Park and Sports Complex, featuring Edwin McCain. Also performing is Jim Quick and Coastline, the Tim Clark Band, Mr. 50, special performance by Maddie and Cicely Russo, special guest MC DJ Eddie C. These are the moments. Come help fight for the cure for cystic fibrosis at the Salt Air Jam, presented by Beach Music Scene Magazine and Zeus Digital Marketing. Go to saltairjam.com for tickets and information. And I could not ask for more.